Yeah, it's been a very, very fun Thursday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Day two of Texans training camps, as Figgy said, in the books. Was a good one. More of a defensive day than an offensive day, but not necessarily a bad one either. I appreciated D'Amico Ryan's making note of. I saw there was a big run that was broken. I believe that was a Jawar Jordan or J.J. Taylor?
I think it was Jawar Jordan.
I believe that, yes, you're right. It was a Jawar Jordan run. A couple of really nice passes, including Jalen Noel catching Arthur Millette on an out route that he then was able to break up. He caught the ball, got to the outside, turned it upfield down the sideline. A number of good things from the offense, but a lot of good things from the defense, including big-time takeaway, which apparently seems to be a big-time deal for D'Amico Ryans, as we heard him talking about it. But Jalen Petrie, nice interception in that game, in the practice. I say in that game because I'm starting to turn my head back to the 2024 rewatch. You thought it was done. You thought we were over. Nah.
No, man.
Never. Because I'm still watching these games from the 2024 season to get a level of insight into what this team was and maybe spin it forward into things that we can hopefully, hope to see in this season, but also maybe kind of in training camp, some of these things possibly addressed. And so week 13 was the one that I left off on, and it was versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, Lopez. Mm-hmm. What do you remember from this 23-20 victory?
Well, actually, we were talking about it in a break. All year long, you're like, ooh, I don't know about this offense, or oh, well, maybe C.J. Stroud needs, is feeling it a little bit. But you brought it up, and you were 100% right. This was the game where, all right, something's wrong. Something's wrong with this blocking assignment. Something's wrong with the pressure they're allowing. Something's wrong because C.J. Stroud is feeling it. He's absolutely feeling it.
All right, let's get into a little bit of that. This was a cut 11 from that game in particular. And, C.J. Stroud was sat down, unfortunately.
Second and goal at the 6. Here's Stroud in the gun with Mixon to his right. Dell in motion to the left. CJ takes the snap. CJ looking. He's got a little time. Now pocket collapsing. He's going to take a sack by Hines Allen back at the 18-yard line. You couldn't do it. It happened. Hines Allen drops CJ Stroud. And now it's third and goal with a long way to go.
I'm still not used to Hines Allen.
Really?
I'm about to say, who the hell is that? Oh, Josh Allen? Okay.
Yeah, but you'd rather have him say Josh Allen than have to explain that. Also, not the quarterback.
I understand, but I'm used to Josh Allen getting the sack.
I put Josh
not
Allen
Hines,
in my notes.
Not Hines Allen.
I put Josh Allen in my notes.
I need to respect that man who said his name, Josh Hines Allen. But yes, he absolutely got the sack there. This one happens in the second quarter. It was a second and goal, as you heard the man mention. It was from the 6. You're in the red zone. And this line is just incapable of blocking one-on-one. This literally is one of those instances where the Jacksonville Jaguars send 5 guys, and you have 5 guys in the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't one of the instances where there's a tight end tackle or end tackle game, rather. There's not any level of, switching or games that are happening in front. This is just you have matched up. In fact, all 5 of your offensive linemen engage with the defensive linemen. They just lose one-on-one. Specifically, it is Laramie Tunsil gets... Oh, okay, so actually, there's a number of them. Mm-hmm. Juice Scruggs at left guard gets swam over.
Yeah.
Laramie Tunsil gets bent. He gets around the edge, his defender, or his kind of opponent, as does Blake Fisher. So you got your two edges coming around your tackles, and from the middle, you get a level of pressure. And this was just the part that made me sick. I'm just like, look, man. One-on-one, this isn't even communication. We didn't get the right guys in the right places. You have an opportunity one-on-one. You're engaging with all these guys. You got to be able to win. And this was an instance where you weren't able to win against this Jacksonville Jaguars offense or defensive line, rather. And that is the thing where I go, I need that to be better. And that's the thing where I'm still interested to see if they have addressed it, because that might be more of a talent thing. It's a little bit of a size
thing,
I think. But that one might be a talent.
No, I think you nailed it right there. That's where I was going to go as well. Because we've been talking about, projecting what some of these things how they might look better. We've talked about the safeties and, okay, now you got Gardner. We've talked about some other things. One thing that is undeniable, this was not scheme. This was not scheme. This was getting beat. And how much better are you? How much better are you just in terms of can you not get beat?
They have a number of new guys in there. The one, like I mentioned, the thing that is I'm trying to lean into to hopefully find a level of solace and possibly good answer towards this is they are more sizable on the offensive line. And also, it seems like there's a point of pride in this. D'Amico Ryans was talking about Cole Popovich and his stewardship of this offensive line right now, talking about he knows how to be aggressive with them. He knows how to love on them and when those times arise. I hope that that creates the right mentalities for these guys to where there's just a level of pride where in a moment like this, we are manned up one-on-one. I'm engaged. We're bigger than you most of the time. Technique should be right. You're not I'm not getting beat once I lock in with you.
Yeah, I mean, you hope. And we'll see. One thing, you know, you said how it translates to training camp as well. We saw the edge get beat a couple times today.
Yeah, the pockets did collapse. Yeah. Now, of course, they're playing against a good defense. This is the benefit, though, of knowing what this Texans team is, particularly on the defense, is that we don't have to do the little cha-cha that is done at every training
camp across the land. Right? Is it the defense?
Any play you go, is that because you're good or because you're bad?
Yeah.
And we don't have to do that particularly with this. You know, that you know play breaks down in large part, I imagine, because the defensive line is good. Now, of course, last year, it was also because the offensive line was bad. But yeah, you're right. There were some moments today where you looked at that supposed pocket, and it wasn't a pocket. It was a very tight fist that CJ was having to try and escape out of. So yeah, no, that one was very frustrating in this game. Seeing that there was another play, I did not have the audio of it, but this one of those because it wasn't a highlight necessarily, and it wasn't even such a low light where the Jacksonville Jaguars scored. But there's an instance where Tank absolutely dusts Ronald Darby, who, hi.
Yeah.
We know who that is. He dusts him on a play, and the ball just takes too long to get there. CJ is waiting a beat too long, possibly, to be fair, because the safety, Antonio Johnson, who is the free safety, he's, like, waiting for him to show his intention. He's not playing the post that Tank is running, the skinny post that Tank is running, but it takes a little while for him to see that after Tank breaks it. But CJ Stroud all season long to this point, as I'm rewatching it, has been a guy who's thrown with anticipation. And it's one of the great things about the accuracy that he has. So when you throw with accuracy and anticipation, you end up with fantastic throws. He does not do this here.
No.
The ball gets hung up, and ultimately Darby's able to get back into the play. And this was, like you were talking about, this was the game where I go, okay, there's a number of times where CJ is not that he is afraid to throw the football, but he wants to make sure it's wide open. And I don't think that allows him to be the high-level quarterback that he's capable of being, and it's definitely not going to allow him to jump into like any level of conversations of a lead if he's
we
not
also
able to do
saw
it.
Him doing things that were just so uncharacteristic and certainly not to be anticipated this year based on what we've seen and what they've said, is holding the ball a little bit. And that has never been him, but there were some instances where I thought he was holding the ball.
Do you even, and this was a thought that crossed my mind as I'm watching this as well, how much do you think that this team is going to be going deep? Because there was portions in the last few games that I rewatched where all of the plays are longer developing downfield, 10-plus yard routes, and then you're trying to keep your guy upright as he's waiting for these to develop. It feels like, conversely, this might be an offense, especially when you listen to guys like Nico Collins, who talked yesterday, get the ball into the hands of the playmakers. Not to say that inherently that tells you what an offense looks like, but I do wonder if that puts you in a more quick passing situation where – all right, the ball comes out relatively quickly. Now Nico Collins, go make a play. Christian Kirk, go make a play. Jaden Higgins or Jalen Noel, go make a play because we got the ball into your hands earlier.
I'm glad you brought this up because all offseason and into training camp, we've been talking about they're going to run the ball. They've said it. We're going to run the ball. Running the ball is going to be a big time, which leads to maybe some play action and some quick routes, which is what you're talking about, and playmakers making plays. But I don't make the mistake of thinking they're not going to take shots. I think they're just going to be more diligent, prudent, you know, in terms of when they take the shots. But you don't have Nico Collins out there.
Yeah.
And you don't have Christian Kirk out there without picking your spots to take the deep ball. I think they absolutely will. I think it's going to be a little more frugal.
Other side of the ball, this is a play that happens in the game. And unfortunately, it's one of the few where you get a big-time toss up there. And unfortunately, the other team comes down with it.
And they're going to go empty here, and four receivers wide side left. Last time they ran a receiver screen in this formation. Third and 10 from the Jags 31. Jones to throw. Jones over the middle. He's got Thomas cutting across. Right side 40, 50 right sideline. The 40 of the Texans, the 30, the 20. And he's finally ridden down inside the 15-yard line by Bullock. Huge play to Thomas.
You, and by the way, before we even go further, you heard him say Jones. Yeah, as in McCorkle Jones. Mac Jones was the quarterback. You remember why that was, right? Fig, right? Lopez.
Yeah, we referenced it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, this
did y'all?
This was the game in which the play happens with the Z's on a sliding Trevor Lawrence. And what's funny is actually seeing the play, it did not feel as big of a play as it ultimately ended up being talked about, but we understand the reasons why. It's the uproar afterwards. But remember, Trevor Lawrence comes out of this game. It's Mac Jones. So remember, Mac Jones is the man throwing the football down the field, getting a big 56-yard play. And it crossed my mind to ask this question, and I don't know that I have a great answer, but I wonder what you think on it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a number of times where one of the few weaknesses of this defense was just big play tosses, especially when that other team's quarterback could stay upright. And the Jaguars did a good job of not allowing sacks in this game at all, but generally they didn't allow too many sacks as an offensive line last year. And I wonder how much of that is, there's a lot of stack boxes.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans had guys up, and how much of that is just, we're going to allow you to throw over top us because we know it's not going to happen very frequently, and this is just what we give up in order to make sure that we help stop the run, which obviously wasn't something that they were incredible at all the damn time. And then, like trying to make sure that you get up and apply pressure. How much do you feel like is that the natural give and take, or is that something that you maybe could see them actually closing the door on and, not allowing to happen nearly in the same way that it did?
Well, I think absolutely that's part of it. But I also think what was exposed here to a degree is something that they also are addressing, safety play and speed. I mean, Brian Thomas is good.
He is very fast.
He is good, and he's very fast. And so, yes to what you're saying, but I also think a little bit of an exposure there in terms of keeping up and help from the safeties. And those are both things that they addressed. They addressed both those.
All right, and then the last one that I actually wanted to make note of in this game, there's obviously a lot of notes that we can talk about, but the last thing I specifically wanted to make note of was this play that is a highlight. I know that I've been kind of being a little negative, but there was something beautiful, which was outside of a lot of plays in which Joe Mixon was just making a little something out of nothing. How about a touchdown run that is made by the offensive line?
Stroud in the gun, Mixon to his right, first and goal inside the 7. Bunch formation right for the Texans. Stover in motion to the left. Handoff Joe, running left across the 5 to the goal line. Touchdown, Houston, Joe Mixon. The Texans take the lead. And when they needed it most, there is the shot in the arm known as Joe Mixon. 30-yard run to set up first and goal, 7-yard run, hello end zone.
And that 30-yard run, that was one of those plays where the play dictates that you go to the right, you look as soon as he gets the ball, and the right is stonewalled up, and he's like, well, you know what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
Go left and get 30.
Yeah.
That 7-yard play, it's just outside zone. But there's actually a hat on a hat, and of course that parlance meaning like you've got a guy for every guy that is open. Like you got a blocker. Irv Smith is the front side tight end. You're actually getting to the second level on the offensive line. Stover is lead blocking out of a motion from the right side, and he just hits the hole and gets up there and lead blocks. And they just spring Mixon. Like Mixon did not have to create it. And what that, I think for me, and I'm interested in what you kind of get from that, they were capable when they executed, but their execution was piss poor all season long.
Well, that's exactly where I was going. I was going to say, how about a shout out to Bobby Slowick? Because at its best, when they did do the things you mentioned, reach blocking and then cut back and then being able to get to the second level, it was very, very difficult for this line to execute, but they did do it some, and that was a perfect example.
But I think that again, and if you want to do this, you can. We can come back and say, Bobby Slowick, you as the offensive coordinator are in charge of making sure that your offense executes.
Absolutely.
And I think the thing that spins forward in a positive manner, if I'm inclined to look at it that way, is what has this team, particularly this offense, focused on early? It's the little things.
Mm-hmm.
It's the details that hopefully lead to good execution. Because, again, you can have a great play call, which sometimes you didn't, to be fair, last year.
Mm-hmm.
But even when you have a great play call, if it's not executed, if there's a broken chain, a broken link in the chain, which happened again many a time last year, you're not going to make the most of it.
Yeah.
Some of this, and we're talking about, is Nick Haley's offense. What is it? Some of it is just going to be, can you run the play right? Because it's a very simple math game when you break football down to its most minimal, most basic. And all it takes is making sure that you execute so you get yourself an opportunity to have that math game. And Joe Mixon's the type of player, if you give him the advantage of I'm only running against one guy or I'm running ahead of somebody and they have to try and catch me, you're winning that battle.
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier, the big difference that I've seen, at least even in the drills today, we mentioned it in the passing thoughts, they were doing drills exactly what you're talking about. Instead of going to spaces and reaching and trying to get to the next level, just beating the guy, counting him off. You said math. That's my guy. That's your guy. That's your guy. Let's go. You know, and that's what they're going to be, the details that they're trying to work on.
Yeah, so those were my main takeaways from a Week 13 win. And I guess the final takeaway, which is not, we don't have to talk about in depth, was, boy, did they need that bye week.
Yeah.
Like, they needed that bye week, like, the 1st and the 15th, right? Like, I think they needed that so damn badly, an opportunity to get a little bit of rest and recoup and recalibrate before they headed into the stretch run of the season last year. A really frustrating, you know, even in a win situation, frustrating win.
Felt awful the whole day.
Felt terrible that game in trying to make sure that you got over the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, Mac Jones was in there for a good period of time and able to sling the ball.
And then the Aziz stuff, you're just like, oh, boy.
Yeah, real frustrating. But, yeah, that was the 2024 Week 13 matchup versus the Jaguars, the second, obviously, of the season. And yes, 337. Shout out to Mark Vandermeer, one of the best voices, Bulls on Parade, LFG. I agree with you in that particular sentiment. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It's been a fun day up and down, but of course it gets more fun. It's no more fun than 1:20 p.m. every weekday when we turn things over to Figgy for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us?
Yeah, so y'all out there at camp, so I got a list of camp buzzwords.
Ooh.
And so we might have heard some today, but I got a list of camp buzzwords, and I want to get your thoughts on them.
Let's get buzzy next.
Yes, it is Figgy's mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's Figgy Fig holding it down. On a Thursday, happy Thursday to everyone out there. Camp still going on. You guys were out there. You guys were scouting and taking notes and all that stuff.
Definitely taking notes. I don't know how much I could say I was scouting.
Yeah, you look at number. Who is number 67 right there? He got some good footwork.
Who is number 67?
Good hips.
Great hips.
Great hips.
So that kind of got me thinking about the buzzwords around camp that you always hear. I think I heard one earlier today. Is iron sharpened iron.
Oh, yeah.
That was one. That's a good one.
Big ups to Aziz.
Yeah. So I got a list of camp buzzwords I want to throw at you. And what I want y'all to do, I want y'all to place a player who fits that word.
Oh, I like this.
I do like this.
Yeah. So, I also have a translation for some of these buzzwords. I want to see if it's kind of accurate.
Okay.
It's kind of a little BS translated. So the first one is best shape of his life. He's in the best shape of his life.
Best shape of his
life. Who is in the best shape of their life?
There's some dudes that I think are actually best shape of their life, but I also feel like when you use best shape in your life, you're saying something entirely different. So that would be a different person.
That's what I'm saying. Who is that one person?
Will Anderson.
Yeah, that was my thought. That dude looks.
Yeah.
So you feel like
not just looks. People have been. There's been a lot of talk about this.
So you feel like he's in the best shape of his life.
He would. Someone is going to, if they haven't already, say that about him.
I'm trying to. But this is the thing. You never actually say that about the people who are actually in the best shape because they're just.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
Oh, that's
monster.
True.
See, that's
true.
What I'm saying. Like
Daniil is in. Because I mean, we didn't realize he could add 5 more pounds of muscle. And look at this weirdo.
You know what?
He
you're right.
It.
You're right. I'm going to change my answer. I'm trying to think of a good one here.
Who is best shape of his life?
Yeah, who do you hear somebody saying that about?
This is I don't know.
Maybe
if the Texans
an older
have those guys.
Player.
Well, yes, of course, absolutely.
An older player that has not been in shape.
Correct. You know who it might be?
Is it the same one I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
Jake Andrews.
That was really mean. I'm sorry.
That's a good one.
I just thought of a conversation I had with Sean Pendergast this morning that I will not be relaying again. As it pertained to Jake Andrews.
I'm not saying he is. I'm saying somebody's going to say that.
No, I don't think anybody would say that about him. You know who it might be eventually when he gets back? Would it be Trent Brown?
Could be.
At first I was thinking Titus. Titus has done a little bit of making sure that he's in the right place, and I think that might happen. But yeah.
So the BS alarm translation says he's either underperformed last year or was hurt. And is trying to they kind of praying that he shows up this year. So that's like the perfect little buzzword. Oh, he's in the best shape of his life.
Yeah.
Does that
then
not
next
feel,
thing you know, he retired.
That fits.
He retired in
a little bit like a Trent Brown.
That does feel a little bit.
With all due respect,
Brown.
Please don't come see me. Yeah. Like I am out there. We are out there in very close proximity. If somebody wants to come see me, please don't.
What about this one? He's really flying around out there.
He's really flying around out there.
Who
I think I know.
Who is
this
that
one.
Guy? He's really flying around out there.
Because to me, that's the guy that. You're not sure, you know, at to what level he's going to play, but, you know, you're giving him the benefit of that. I'm thinking EJ Speed.
Ooh.
Really flying around out there. Because, you know, there have been some mixed – it's been kind of a mixed bag in terms of the Texans bringing him in.
That's interesting. I the tough part about it is I could easily see EJ Speed being the person that this talks that they talk about. In 2 days, I have not done my due diligence in making sure to get my eyes on him or really the linebackers in general. Mm-hmm. So I'll go with you. I'll just defer to you and mm-hmm. your thought process.
It's funny Lopez said that because the BS alarm translation said we have no clue what his actual impact is.
Thank you.
But hey, he looks busy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think EJ Speed fits that.
All right, what about this one? As I continue the camp buzzwords on the mixtape in the Lou Sports Radio 610,
mm-hmm.
we love his motor.
Ooh, white guy.
Who is the guy that we love his motor?
White guy.
White guy.
So
no, that's kinda... that's I found the nice thing to say, which is he does a lot. What does it? It's kind of the flying around. Like, yeah. What does this actually come to? Like, yeah. Are we actually finding the productivity on the backside of this?
This one reminds me of, remember Jacob Martin?
Yes.
That was somebody, everybody's like, oh, he's just in on third down so he could just rush the passer.
Yeah.
And he got a moat. And it's just like, to me, that's like saying, oh, he's a great defensive player in the NBA.
Yeah, that might be.
I just Googled the image to show Reggie.
That might be one.
Jake Hansen.
He love his motor.
This is the man. Motor. You try. He tries so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. We love his.
He
motor.
Does a lot of trying out there. Yeah.
What about this one? Taking the next step. Who is taking the next step?
That is the person that you are waiting on. That you have been waiting on to take the next step. So now you're just you're speaking it into existence.
It's a layup. It's a layup. It's your man.
Mechie?
Yeah.
I was gonna say Mechie or maybe Brevin.
I think more Mechie. Brevin fits.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brevin fits. What
so the translation said, this guy hasn't broken out yet, and we're crossing our fingers, hopefully.
Dude, we are nailing this.
Hoping it's finally the year.
We are this is the nailing year this.
That John Madden.
Yeah, I know.
Puts it all together.
You calling all of this BS alarm translations
yeah,
right here.
Yeah.
What about this one? The game has slowed down for
oh,
me.
I hate this
Oh,
one.
Yeah. I believe in this, so maybe I just need to own it.
No, I think it's real.
I do believe there is an instance where you're like, okay, he's starting to understand and have a feel for what's happening as opposed to it being like really fast
the
and not being able to keep up.
Game is slowing down for him. So it's got to be a second or third year player.
I imagine.
Yeah.
Especially since we're so early in camp. Maybe later in camp, some of these younger guys the game will have slowed down for them.
Is it fair to say CJ Gardner-Johnson? I know he hasn't been here.
Well, but. I mean, that's your guy.
To me, no.
The only thing that I would even be get close to maybe saying the game is slowed down for him, and I think it would have to be altered, and it's, again, in a few weeks, is he is getting used to the heat of this place. He came off that field.
Yeah.
The way that he sat down on the field, I was like, is he good? Like, is he hurting? I was like, oh, no, he is just feeling the Houston heat for the very first time.
Welcome to Houston. I have one, but he may not even make the team, but I think the characterization would fit, and that's Jawar Jordan. You know, running back, drafted in 24.
Great play today.
Really good play today.
Good run. Although it was well blocked.
You know why?
Why was that?
Because the game has slowed down for him.
I can hear that.
So this translation is, he finally understands the playbook, we think.
Mm-hmm. We think. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I thought about CJ GJ.
Yeah.
Because he talked about it in interviews, how he was playing a certain way. And I think in the Super Bowl, he kind of had to slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
It seemed like he kind of understands, you know, what it is to be a defensive player now. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why I kind of thought about him. What about this one? He's a great locker room guy. Who is the great locker room guy?
I think D'Amico kind of went down that road a little bit today.
Oh, you about to do the Justin Watson?
Justin Watson. Justin Watson, you know, been around a little bit, you know, didn't necessarily say, boy, he's lighting it up, but he's like, I really like that guy. He does all the things we like. You know, he was kind of going down the path of great locker room guy. So I'm going to say Justin Watson.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the tough part about it with this roster is that the way that the Texans roster is set up, they like it's it, this is really like a refining roster as opposed to like a lot of other teams that are not, that are trying to find things.
Yeah.
They're really refining their roster in a way. So I feel like they're missing some of these at times. But yeah, I guess I'll lean with you there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this translation is, he's not playing much, but he jokes around and keeps the vibes good.
Yeah. Just good All right. vibe guy.
All right.
Yeah. Great locker room guy.
Mm-hmm.
What about this one? He's a real pro.
He's a pro's pro.
That is actually probably Justin Watson.
That might be Justin Watson, too. I'll try to think of someone else here. I'm looking. a pros. But so I would define it as not necessarily a standout, but not necessarily a liability either. Just a guy that is going to be. Oh, Dare.
Dare is a pros pro.
I explained myself.
Dare is a pros pro.
I explained myself into Dare Ogunbowale. Yeah.
Yeah. So this one is he's old. He tapes his ankles early, and he won't complain about snaps.
Yeah. Dare.
That sounds about right.
A real pros pro.
I think Justin also works there as well. With all due respect to Justin Watson.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's the ones I got. Some of the camp buzzwords. Mm-hmm. I feel like y'all did. Lopez really hit it out the park.
How about that?
Yeah. I mean, man. You've done it about 70 times. So I would expect that.
No, a lot of times people use these words, mm-hmm. and it's sometimes it'd be like a cover up.
Yeah.
We're like best shape of his life. Yeah. It's just like, all right, he's on the probably the last leg of his life.
I think some of them are done more intentionally than others. Like a lot of these, I think we've gotten to a point where we're aware as sports fans, mm-hmm. and media and so on that we know what we're saying to each other. It's just coded language that we're saying, hey, I want to say something that probably isn't the nicest thing. So I'm going to try and find the nice way to say it.
Yeah, like, would you be surprised if somebody said last year, Robert Woods in the best shape of his life?
That's a perfect one. Yeah.
Like, all right, mm-hmm. man. All right. I see what you're doing here.
281, sneaky athletic. They went with Braxton Berrios.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder why. All right, it's the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. So I ran across this post on Instagram, mm-hmm. and I don't know if I should laugh at this or be a little afraid or sad about this. So police are still looking for a guy who painted a tunnel under a bridge.
Is his name Wile E. Coyote?
It's funny you said that because somebody painted a tunnel. It was one of those illusion paintings.
Yeah, like a 3D.
It looked like a real tunnel. And somebody apparently crashed into it. They thought it was a real tunnel. So now police are still looking for the person who did it. And
it's not funny, and I can't.
That's what I'm saying. It looked clever. It looked super clever, but somebody actually thought it was a real tunnel, and they wasn't hurt or anything.
God
it was
mine.
Yeah, the car was banged up a little bit.
They actually ran into the wall.
Like I said, not funny, but it is. But I'm still laughing.
I gotta give whoever I don't even remember who did Looney. I guess Warner Brothers or whatever. Mm-hmm. I gotta give them some love here because I always watched those cartoons and was like, come on, y'all.
Yeah, come on, man.
Nobody's falling.
The funny thing about it in this picture, he actually painted the Roadrunner right by the tunnel.
Wow.
So maybe he was saying, not a real tunnel, because the Roadrunner's right here. You know what happens to him?
Yeah.
Or actually, to Wile E. Coyote.
It looked really real, though, man. It looked super real.
So the police
is actually looking for somebody who did this.
And they actually should.
What do you charge them with?
That's the thing. They charging them with vandalism.
Oh, they're getting them for like just.
Yeah.
They were like, we don't have anything we can get you with.
Yeah, dog. Like, just stop doing this, bro. We're going to charge you with vandalism.
But it is dangerous.
But vandalism is not going to stop it from making that. Like, again, if the vandalism charges worked, we would not have all the graffiti that we do. And I say that mm-hmm. without, like, I like a decent amount of graffiti. I think that it's an interesting cultural kind of phenomenon. I just don't know that this is actually going to stop that person from painting.
It's not going to stop, but they got to do something. Mm-hmm. Like at that point, it's like, dog, you can't go around painting tunnels like this that look real as hell.
Yeah, you can't.
So it's like,
that.
All right, bro, you got to stop.
I mean, we use Rico charges for everything. You can hit him with a Rico,
Rico
right?
Charge.
We just be hitting people with Ricos for anything.
He's a mobster. Yeah. It was the mob.
All right, it's the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. And last night, I went out with my boys, man.
I saw that. I liked your post.
Yeah. Who are your boys?
Reggie.
What?
I went out with T-Mill, Luke Morrow. Mm-hmm. B. Scott and Chewy from over at Mix 96.5.
And Luke let the locks flow.
He sure did.
He let the locks flow.
He let the takes flow too.
Yeah.
My favorite iteration of Luke, which is Hatin' Ass Luke, came out in full force and I love it.
Yeah, so I got some takeaways from this mm-hmm. From last night. So we went to Cabo's, mm-hmm. had a nice little steak night. Shout out to Raul, mm-hmm. who was running the joint. Pretty good steak, man.
Yeah,
it really, really good steak. Like I might go back.
Mm-hmm.
I really might go back. It was really good, well seasoned.
Yeah,
so highly recommended.
All right.
Another takeaway. Remember, I mentioned in the in Confessions if Luke was gonna be wearing a Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, Black Sabbath.
Yeah. He was not. He was wearing the, he's pretty much wearing the F. LeBron shirt.
Well, okay, but that's still disappointing.
Yeah. And
he said,
I,
he did say he has been listening to a lot of Black Sabbath recently.
Good.
Yeah, but he also said this about Black Sabbath. He said it was a little bit overrated.
What?
He said they got three songs.
He said it was a little overrated.
I am not the biggest Black Sabbath fan in the world.
Hey, that's Luke.
But overrated is a bit of a reach when you're talking about an absolute legend. I don't care if it's three songs. I mean, that Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath, legendary.
Yeah,
and I'm not Mr. You know.
I think he realizes. Mm-hmm. I think he kind of be in a spot where I be in where you realize a legend, but you could also say it's a little overrated. But yeah. I understand why he is who he is.
Yeah,
this is a great point from the 832. I might go back. Isn't a good advertisement.
You know what? I might grace them with my presence again.
That thing was good as hell, man. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
No,
if
I was,
you don't tell you, I will.
I was about to say I might go back next week.
Oh, gotcha.
But I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna go back next week.
So you didn't want? You just didn't want to promise that you.
Yeah,
I feel
yeah, yeah, yeah.
On
so,
next
week. Yeah, but Luke felt like he's a little overrated. Mm-hmm. And also in that same conversation, T-Mill felt like the Beatles are overrated.
He will find more company than our guy, Luke will.
This has become a more and more popular, you know, hot take or whatever. It's stupid, of course. I'm the Rolling Stones guy. I think the Rolling Stones are better than the Beatles. So I'm not like a Beatles apologist. I really feel, though, you cannot. It's like almost impossible. You can say it, but you'll be dead wrong. Like I said, stupid. Because if you listen to their like entirety of their, you know,
the catalog.
The catalog is the word I was thinking of. Like, it's in. We're talking about hundreds of songs in the, you know, that made top 40 hits. You know, number one, et cetera. Hundreds
of songs. Solo careers.
Yes.
Yeah, they had a big impact on their solo careers.
Yeah. So Tyler's stupid.
Also, another takeaway from this is we actually argued a very heated argument about Ron's boy band list.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know the boy band list off the top, Reggie?
I don't know it off the top. We heard a little bit
of it. I still don't remember it.
Yeah, because I want to say he had Jackson 5
at number one. Number one. Mm-hmm. I think it was NSYNC and Backstreet Boys of memory serves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like T-Mill is going to walk by and just give us this answer again.
I think four he had,
was it Boys to Men in here?
He did have Boys to Men. I don't know where.
Yeah, yeah. And then he had the group, what's the group with Bobby Brown?
He had New Edition on there?
Mm-hmm. I thought he did.
Yeah, he did.
I think he either had them four or five.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not know we was going to get into a heated argument
dude, over this. Dude, you would think with five sports personalities and then hanging out with our guy Chewy, who is over there on Mix 96.5, that we would have been talking a lot about sports. We talked about sports minimal. It was movies and music for hours.
Yes.
I see who was there by who was omitted.
Who's that?
Menudo. Top five, easy. Easy.
Mm.
Easy.
Was Menudo a boy band?
Yes. Yes. But, I mean, you know, the people who were there probably, you know, conveniently.
Yeah, Menudo was a boy band.
Conveniently forgot about Menudo.
Okay.
But I like his list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think it's you know, a little bit biased.
Yeah.
I think we underrated, and we had a long conversation. Underrated New Edition within this list.
Yeah. That was the basis of our argument.
That's the beauty of lists, is that you will always have a conversation on it. Yeah. Always.
And my last takeaway, I'm trying to think. I might save this for when B. Scott comes.
Yes,
in.
No, okay. Please. Because
this brother had a couple.
Firing him up.
Yeah, he had a couple hot takes.
This is what
a couple
we call,
movie hot takes.
Yes, this is what we call a tease. Because let me tell you, B. Scott sits in a seat on In the Loop tomorrow, and we are firing
we're going
him.
In?
I swear
we're
to God.
We're going in.
Look, I understand this is a sports talk station.
We're going in.
We've got
I don't
Texas
even know what it is,
yeah.
We're going in.
We are getting after him tomorrow.
Can we do a tease of what his hot take was about?
I don't.
You don't want to give it. You want to leave it like this.
I want people to understand. It is going to infuriate. Look, I'm not saying that I am the most knowledgeable on our fan base, top to bottom. But I know that just generally the consensus view on this particular film is A++++.
Oh, wow.
And B. Scott thinks
so
it's bad.
Movie related. Okay.
Yeah, movie related. Okay. And one is a mob movie related.
Yes. Classic mob movie related.
Now I feel like going in right now.
Yes.
I'm not even sure.
Be here tomorrow, 11 o'clock hour. So there you go. That is Figgy's Mixtape, 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610 at the Figgy Fig on social media if you see something you believe to be mixtape worthy, and he'll shout you out. Coming up next, we'll get ready to hand things off to Clinton Ron, but before we go there, there was a couple of interesting things when it came to the Astros, one of which is an all-star ranking that came out from The Athletic. I kind of want to get your expert opinion, Lopez. We'll do both of those next.
Yeah, it was a fun day for day two of Texans training camp. You heard that voice of Cal McNair. He actually just stopped by our broadcast location earlier today. He's excited for Saturday when all the fans could come out and see practice. And he's also excited for his yearly opportunity to flip some burgers for you.
We did tell some stories, actually.
That is true. Yeah. That did happen. So appreciation to all of you rock with us, getting ready to hand things over to the fellas of the drive, allow them to break down what they saw from the expert experience that they bring to the table. But before we get there, I did want to give a little bit more love to the Astros. I saw that Chandler Rome wrote a piece that it was very interesting to me because Camp Smith, we were talking about like the future being bright for this team, and how I think for you, Lopez, you're starting to get to the place where you're being drawn to it almost like a siren, right?
Yeah, almost more excited, almost more excited for the future based on some of the guys we're seeing.
Well, of course, Cam Smith right in the midst of that. And one of the things that is interesting is we gave Joe Espada and the organizational level of credit with the way that they've handled this season. This is also a thing that I think they deserve a level of credit for. Again, Chandler Rome writing about this for The Athletic. Apparently now they're trying to make sure that our guy Cam Smith takes the later bus to the park.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea behind that is Cam Smith's work ethic is unbleeping deniable. He has been a guy who is first guy in because he knows that the vets come through, they do their stuff. He's been trying to do a lot of stuff to help him get himself right for being a rookie and, starting and playing a new defensive position that he had never played before and having the responsibilities that he had coming out of, not playing baseball at this level ever, right? Only having a little bit of minor league experience in a year, less than a year before he ends up on a big league club, previously being in playing college baseball. Like, it's a very fast transition for him. So he's been getting to the park early and taking a lot of hacks and doing, and this is literally the longest season of baseball that he has ever played.
Yeah.
And can you imagine having the additional leverage, like the heavier type of situation? It's the more stress of an MLB season, I think, also weighs on you.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, every day going and putting in extra and extra and extra work, they're actually having to rein him back in to try and help him, kind of span the entirety of the season.
I think it's some of that. I also think it's a kind of a tip of the cap. You've made it. Don't sweat it. You don't have to prove anything. We know how you work, kind of to what you're speaking. But the second bus is generally the guys that, they are locked in as players. They're locked in as roster, players as well. Veterans that you don't have to worry about. I think it's almost like it's a tribute to, like, all right, these guys, you can go on the second bus. We don't have to worry about you. First bus is generally, the younger up-and-comers, the guys that are really putting in the extra hours. I think it's both of those things. It's just kind of an attaboy, so to speak.
100%. So they're really tailoring his pre- and post-game workload, and they're making that a priority, was said by a coach on the team. And so, yeah, I thought that was very interesting to see, and I encourage you to read the article. There's definitely some more in there and hearing from the various coaches and the ways that they view Cam Smith, who has been very vital and actually has ramped up even more so relatively soon. I thought that was interesting, and you talk about the attaboy there for Cam Smith. The other thing that came from The Athletic and the baseball writers, the Baseball Hall of Fame tiers. This comes from Jason Stark, obviously covers the league at large. And what he does kind of periodically is he sets tiers for which active players are on their way to Cooperstown. And so the tiers that he has here are in right now, as in if those guys, when those guys stop playing, we can go ahead and just shuttle them on in.
Mm-hmm.
In the red zone, obviously borrowing from a football perspective of getting close. Across the 50, again, football perspective.
On their way.
Moving the chains, as in, all right, they're starting their way towards that general direction. Drive stalled. I think we kind of get what's going there. Still alive, which is not very, optimistic. Starters corner, which I guess is just like, hey, you're starting starting pitchers.
We'll see.
Closers corner, catchers corner. There's some more of those. But I think the major ones are up until moving the chains. When it comes to in right now.
I haven't looked.
Would you like to play the guessing game? Would you like to guess some of the players that are going to be in the space?
Couple of them?
Just generally in baseball, who are the guys that are just, if they stopped right now, we'll just slot them right in.
Justin Verlander.
Correct. Which, again, a damn shame the Giants are not allowing him to flourish and maybe hit one of the, be possibly the last dude to hit a milestone that used to matter so greatly in baseball for starters, which is 300 wins.
Jose Altuve.
No.
What?
Not an in right now, according to Jason Stark.
What?
Yeah.
That dirty dog.
So you got Justin Verlander. Would you like to guess any more? Would you like to talk about?
No, help me. Help me out.
All right, so Clayton Kershaw. That one feels evident.
100%.
Max Scherzer.
Yes.
Mike Trout feels very obvious.
Yes.
He was careening towards trying to be one of the best of all time if injuries did not continually whoop his ass.
Yeah.
Freddie Freeman.
Yes. I'm good on all these.
And then new to this area, according to Jason Stark, Mookie Betts and Aaron Judge. Are you in agreement with him on this space? That those guys
they're not like in now, guys?
Like in right now.
Mookie Betts in right now.
And I feel like I'd probably lean more towards a Mookie Betts than I would an Aaron Judge in that space.
Be there with you.
Even both of those, I'm like, huh?
Yeah, I think both of those I'm with you on like, okay, not quite.
All right, in the red zone. So maybe not specifically they stop right now, but they're knocking on the door they'd be in.
Who?
Well, I mean, you don't want to take any guesses?
Well, it got to be Altuve now.
Jose Altuve. Yeah, is. Yeah. But he is saying that Jose Altuve just moved into that space.
That's ridiculous.
He's getting the knock for 2017, right? Yeah. Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. 100%. It's what it is. Look at Clint Sterner wearing the exact same shirt I wore yesterday.
This self-centered son of a gun talking about the same shirt that I wore. You think Clint Sterner was looking at you like this is what I gotta wear?
I'm thinking about going back. I'm thinking about going back and getting the other hooded ones.
Dude, those dry fit hoodies.
You've been on these fishing shirts for a long time, and I'm hesitant on to go too hard in the fishing gear.
Mm-hmm. But the dry fit are versatile.
The hooded dry fit. The hoodie came in big today for me.
Yeah,
that sun was beating on the back of my neck at practice, so I kind of put it up halfway on the hat and saved my neck.
Yeah,
it was. It was clutch.
Of course, that's Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley jumping in, courtesy of D&M Auto Leasing, as we do a little crosstalk here. Y'all are sunscreen cats? Like, are y'all making sure to take care of the skin as y'all are out there in that heat?
I never have been, unfortunately, not proud of it. But my wife is. That's one of the positive things. My wife has kind of influenced me here. Is we got a pool as well, and with the kids, there's always you know, there was never sunscreen around.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't take the time to get it. Didn't take the time to apply it, man.
Well,
and now that
listen
always
to your
around,
wife.
Yeah,
I yeah. know.
Well,
yeah.
That's why I was looking at. At least you get the UV covering of that hoodie on that fishing shirt. So I guess I will allow it, and not that you were waiting for me to do that for you. We were just talking about Jason Stark's kind of his Hall of Fame, his baseball Hall of Fame tiers, and we were mentioning the idea that he has slotted Jose Altuve as a dude who has just moved into an in the red zone type perspective when it comes to a Hall of Fame candidacy. Like he's kind of knocking on the door, but not if he retired right this moment would he be in. And then on top of that, this is a part that kind of piqued my interest, that drive stalled category, where I guess in some ways, if you're trying to speak to it, the idea that hey, their progress has now been stopped towards that end.
Yeah.
Garrett Cole, Adley Rutschman, Carlos Correa, and Yordan Alvarez steps into that space.
I actually don't have a big problem with that right now today. Drive stalled?
Like, yeah, for sure. I mean, the continual injuries there. I'm just, it got me thinking about, like, the larger perspective. Like, this has really stopped his forward progress in a larger, long-term perspective where people are starting to turn on Yordan, not just locally, because I think there's a myopic feeling to that, but maybe just in a general baseball sense, people are starting to turn on Yordan and how strong he factors around the league.